grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth and all that there is and all that there will ever be, that you would be called our Father, that you would desire to hear our words and our thoughts in prayer, and that you would hearken to what we say and answer is astonishing. Help each one who hears these words today nurture and grow and avail much of the precious gift of prayer and that special relationship with you that can only happen through prayer. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The hot weather outside today reminds me of my time in high school, particular three separate weeks. For 3 years in a row, I went to soccer camp at Indiana University in Bloomington, Indiana, and it was hot, especially on the turf field in the stadium. We stayed in the college dorms, eating in the cafeteria, and a soccer ball and a t-shirt were all provided through the camp fee. And you'd get up, you'd eat breakfast, and then out to the field. You'd eat lunch, and then out to the field. Then there'd be a break in the afternoon for a nap, sometimes for me, and sometimes went swimming in the swimming pool. Jumping off the platform dive, that was fun. And then supper time, and after supper, back out to the field. After, morning, noon, night, over and over, running, kicking, heading, trapping, repeat, 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 repeat. To drill that skill into the muscle memory. Learning from those who were skilled much more than I. And one of the most prized soccer possessions I have was a plaque, a trophy, if you will, from that summer camp. My last year that I was there before my senior year. I earned the most improved player. And that was through intense effort. And boy, I can tell you, intense effort I put in that summer. Think of intense effort that you put into various things. Do you put that same intense effort into prayer? Prayer is intense effort. To grow into a relationship with the Lord takes time, and it takes intense effort to grow in that prayer. This is more than prayers before meals or prayers before a test or prayer before you can fill in the blank when all the different times you pray. This is more than that. I'm talking about prayer that is conversation with God that lasts for more than an hour. With that prayer effort, praying the same petition, that same petition, I want to say repetition, but petition, that same prayer over and over and over, year after year after year after year, like for that wayward one to come home and to come to Christ. Praying in such intense effort that your heart is changed, your character is changed, your priorities are changed, your focus is changed. Prayer that moves mountains, it moves missions, it brings supplies and resources for ministry. Prayer that changes the destiny of the world. Prayer that even brings perspiration tinged with blood. Prayer, that is that weapon of the Spirit that enters and encounters the battle in the heavenlies. It takes intense effort to engage in the battle of the heavenlies. And this time needs the church to engage the battle in the heavenlies. Luke chapter 5, verse 16. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Jesus was known to be a man of prayer. Often went off by himself to pray. Pray for hours. Yes, that's hours he prayed. sometimes praying all night. For example, one of the times he prayed all night was before selecting the 12 who would become that inner disciple circle. Luke chapter 6, verse 12. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray, and he spent the night praying. Jesus prayed. Think about this. The Son of God, fully God, fully human, yet fully God, had to pray. How much more do we need to pray? Luke 11, verse 1. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." After many months of watching Jesus, seeing that Jesus was a man of prayer, and seeing that John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray, the disciples of Jesus ask Jesus to teach them to pray. It's very likely the disciples saw the effect and the impact of prayer in Jesus. That impact that it had, prayer had in Jesus. And they wanted the same in their lives. So I ask, is prayer a habit? Deep prayer, a daily necessity, essential, like your moment-to-moment breathing for your physical life. Is prayer that essential to the way you go about your daily life? Prayer changes things. Do you say from your heart and from your souls like the disciples, "Lord, teach us to pray"? Jesus replied, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name.'" Before going any farther, we need to spend a moment right here. When you pray, say, "Father." This is where we get the identity of the first person of the Trinity, God the Father. This is revealed to us by God the Son, Jesus. This is not because the society was paternalistic. Look at Jesus. Look how he lived and what he did. Did societal rules and ceremonial expectations constrain Jesus from eating with tax collectors, prostitutes, and other sinners? Do you think societal rules would constrain Jesus from teaching the truth about God? Jesus could have said anything here, such as, "Most holy Lord God above heaven and earth," or "Eternal one who made all things." Or Jesus could have said, pray like this, "Glorious everlasting God." For the disciples, for you and I to say too. Or Jesus could have said, "Mother." But he did not. Instead, Jesus said, "Say, Father." This is why there is no other acceptable term for the first person of the Trinity other than God the Father. Father, relationship, caring, compassionate relationship. Jesus said to see God as a child sees a father in the most ideal, perfect, holy way. Father. Then Jesus gives us the prayer we call the Lord's Prayer. We conclude the Lord's Prayer petitions with a doxology. "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." The word glory in Greek is doxa. Doxa. That's where we get the word doxology from. Doxa, glory. We will dig into the richness of the Lord's Prayer at another time. Now, the Jewish people, they were a praying people. Yet in Jesus, the disciples saw something more, and they wanted that same more in their life. Jesus answered that longing for something more with a parable, a word story to convey a spiritual meaning. The parable. You have an unexpected company come to stay, and you did not have anything to set out for a meal. And even though it's late at night, you go next door and ask your friend for bread. The answer to your knock is, "Go away, I'm already in bed." So you knock again and again and again. Your friend, your neighbor, will get no sleep until he gives you the 3 loaves of bread. It was not friendship that resulted in the loan of the loaves of bread. It was to stop that blasted knocking. "I want to go to sleep." That the man got out of bed and gives the loaves of bread. Persistence, boldness, doggedness, tenacity. Those qualities are being linked to prayer. Now Jesus applies the meaning of the parable. Luke chapter 11, verse 9. "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." The simple meaning of the parable is persist in prayer. Never give up. Never surrender the ship. Stand fast. Hold on. Never let go. Luke 11, verse 10. "For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened." Then Jesus links this to Father. Again, he said, "When you pray, say, Father." Luke 11, verses 11 through 13. "Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion?" That is, if you and I know how to get good gifts, how much more will your Father in heaven give you? The Holy Spirit and other things. How much more God the Father. Again, Jesus emphasizes relationship. Father. Father is emphasized by Jesus. Now, some may have had a really rotten and awful relationship with your Father. And some have had a hard time with God the Father. But I ask you to consider what the most loving Father of your deepest longings would look like for you. To hold you, to cherish you, to wipe away your tears, and to hug you with such strong arms and gentle love. Everything you ever really wanted. Then more than supersize it, God size it. And you just may get a glimpse of the idea how much your Father in heaven loves and cherishes you. Ask, seek, knock. The Greek of these words is present tense, meaning keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Don't stop. Don't give up. Some prayer answers come only through persistence. I have found a couple of things that persistent prayer does. It's done it in my life. It can do it in your life and perhaps already has. Prayer changes. It changes you. At times, I found prayer deepens the intensity of the asking, seeking, and knocking, driving me to be more and more persistent because the prayer means that much. At other times, prayer lessens in intensity as I listen to the Lord, and that listening moves me more and more to no as the answer to the prayer. So it changes you. It drives you deeper to prayer. At the same time, it also teaches you how to hear those no's. And you hear the yeses too. Prayer strengthens. The deepening of intensity is like exercise. Spiritual muscles flex in bolder and bolder fashion. Starting with small prayers and over time growing in expanse of your prayer and growing the impact of your prayer. Prayer transforms. The content of your prayer changes. It transforms and moves from being me, myself, and I prayers, turning towards others, praying for their hurts, their desires, their needs, and especially for others to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord, Redeemer, Savior. And prayer provides. Oh, if I had, well, you'd be here for months if I could tell you all the answers to prayer that God has provided. God answers prayer. He answers prayer. And for some reason, God has established in the workings of this world that God the Father wants us to know Him and trust Him through asking, seeking, knocking, to know that He will provide. And that only happens when we pray, when we ask, when we seek, when we knock. God has ordered this world in such a fashion. Prayer is essential to your life as a Christian. Essential to your relationship to the Father. In 1830, a pastor resolved to live by faith. To live by faith. To rely. That meant to rely on God to provide the power for the ministry. And to rely on God to provide the resources for the ministry. And this pastor would approach God the Father through prayer alone. The pastor resolved to show the world God answers prayer. The years that followed are a witness and a testimony of God answering prayer. From this pastor's autobiography, an example of prayer. I read it to you. November 20th, 1857. So this is 27 years after resolving to live by prayer, trusting God. November 20th, 1857. He writes, "The boiler in the new orphan house number one leaked considerably. We thought that it would last through the winter, although we suspected it was nearly worn out. For me to do nothing and say, 'I will trust God,' would be careless presumption, not faith in God. The condition of the boiler could not be known without taking down the brickwork surrounding it. What then was to be done? For the children, especially the younger infants, I was deeply concerned that they would suffer for lack of warmth. But how were we to obtain heat? The installation of a new boiler would probably take many weeks. Repairing the boiler was a questionable matter because of the size of the leak. Nothing could be decided until the brick chamber was at least partially removed. That would take days, and what was to be done in the meantime to find warm rooms for 300 children? At last, I decided to open the brick chamber and see the extent of the damage. The day was set when the workmen were to come and all the necessary arrangements were made. The heat, of course, had to be shut off while the repairs were going on. And after the repair day was set for repairs, a bleak north wind set in, bringing in the first really cold weather of winter. The repairs could not be put off, so I asked the Lord for two things: that He would change the north wind into a south wind, and that he would give the workmen a desire to work. I remembered how much Nehemiah accomplished in 52 days while building the walls of Jerusalem because the people had a mind to work. Nehemiah 4, verse 6. The memorable day came. The evening before, the bleak north wind still blew. But on Wednesday, the south wind blew, exactly as I had prayed. The weather was so mild that no heat was needed. The brickwork was removed, the leak was soon found, and the repairmen set to work. About 8:30 in the evening, when I was going to leave from my home, I was informed that the manager of the repair firm had arrived to see how the work was going on. I went to the cellar to see him and the men. The manager said, "The men will work late this evening and come very early again tomorrow." "We would rather, sir," said the foreman, "work all night." Then I remembered the second part of my prayer, that God would give the men a mind to work. By the next morning, the repair of the boiler was accomplished. Within 30 hours, the brickwork was up again and the fire was in the boiler. All the time, the south wind blew so mildly, there was not the least need for any heat. That's from the autobiography of George Mueller. George Mueller was a living demonstration of the reality of the Scripture. You and I, we can tell stories too of the living reality of God answering prayer, being our Father. And so I conclude with a short portion from the Luther's Small Catechism. And again, that word catechism simply means question and answer format for learning. And it's a fabulous way to memorize and learn things by rote. From the Catechism, "Our Father, who art in heaven, what is this?" And the answer, with these words, God wants to entice us so that we come to believe he is truly our Father. And we are truly his children. In order that we may ask him boldly and with complete confidence, just as loving children ask their loving father. This is what Jesus is teaching here in Luke 11. You have a loving father in heaven. Go ahead. Ask him. Seek him. Knock for him to answer your prayers. Do it with complete confidence that the Father loves you and will answer your prayers. Ask, seek, keep knocking. The Father loves you. Amen and amen.